Praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. Happy Easter to every one of you. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Today is an important day in the Christian calendar. Today is a day that we celebrate our anchor to our faith, being Christians. Today we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we celebrate his life. In the Christian calendar, this is probably the only one that's very important. And what makes this important is the hope that you and I have. The story of Jesus is something that we're very familiar with, but I'll just paraphrase the whole concept behind the man Jesus. The life of Jesus started from conception in such a very controversial way. In those days, and even in this day, his conception was controversial. But as it were, the husband of his mom accepted this young lady that was pregnant. And eventually, when the boy was birthed, the next thing that happened in his life was a turmoil. For a king called Herod decided that every child that was 2 years or every boy that was 2 years or below will be killed. And because of him, many women lost their sons. But it took him being taken out of where he was born into Egypt to hide him away from the death that was pursuing him as a young lad. Finally, when Jesus was of age and was going to start his ministry, he went to church like today. And the Bible of those days was opened up to him. And it's recorded in the book of Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. When the book was opened unto him, where his eyes captured, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." What Jesus was talking about here happened to be his six-point agenda for why he had come to the face of the earth. In preaching the gospel to the poor, he spoke to men and women who thought they were nobody and pointed their eyes to the eternal treasure that laid within them. He said to them, "You are the light of the world, a city that is set upon a mountain that cannot be hid." He told them about them being the salt of the earth. He made them realize that they had treasures within them that they never knew existed. So to the poor, he gave hope of eternal inheritance. He went on further to say that he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. When we're talking about heartbreak, I'm not talking about when your boyfriend or your girlfriend breaks up with you. That's not a heartbreak. That's deliverance for you. But rather, he was talking about the loss, the loneliness that people can feel. Perhaps it's that heartbreak that was talking to a woman, a widow woman, who was about to bury the son. The heartbreak in there was enough for that woman that not only has she lost her husband, the breadwinner, but even this young lad in whom she had hope would become somebody as equally die. That is a heartbreak. And Jesus was able to heal the heartbreak. For anyone who's experiencing heartbreak, apart from your boyfriend or girlfriend losing or leaving you, I say unto you today, because of his resurrection power, you will feel healing for that heartbreak in Jesus' name. He went up further to say, he has called me, sent me to preach deliverance to the captives. Captivity is not anything that is pleasant. Perhaps he demonstrated this for the people that had evil spirits within them. That when Jesus showed up on the scene, the evil spirit had nothing to do than to leave them alone. It brings to mind the story of a man who everybody has given up on. He was outside the city, chained in the tomb. He broke the chain and he was totally messed up. But when Jesus came on the scene, the one that the whole village rejected was acceptable in the sight of the Lord. For everyone that's experiencing rejection, be it at home, be it at work, be it in the land, I've come to say to you today, you are acceptable in the sight of God indeed, in Jesus' name. The Bible said he has said, or his agenda said, he has sent me to recover the sight for them that are blind. Many do not have a vision. Many do not have an idea of where they're going, talk less of where they're coming from. But Jesus has come to help you and I to have a focus. When you have a focus, you have a hope. When you have a hope in him, your hope cannot be dashed. So probably it was what happened to Bartimaeus, for he knew he needed to see indeed. And when he had an encounter with Jesus, he who had no vision receives his vision. Therefore, I say to you, for anyone who's experiencing not knowing where he's going or where he's coming, not having an understanding of what tomorrow holds, Jesus will give you a vision. In the name of Jesus, indeed. He said he has come to set at liberty they that are bruised. In the world that we live in, there's bound to be conflict. There's bound to be aggression towards one another. There's bound to be fear of the heart. For Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So for them that are bruised, it is a captivity in itself. Perhaps it's the same story that happened to the man who found himself in the place of hope, in the place of miracles for 38 years. And one way or the other, miracles eluded him. He who was hopeful saw his foe not being fulfilled, and he could not even leave the place of miracles because he did not even have the strength. Neither did he have anywhere to go. But when Jesus came on the scene, Jesus turned his hopelessness to hope. Have you been in the situation for such a long time that you have given up? I've come to say to you today, he whose hope in you, he whose plan in you is for good and not for evil, shall restore your hope in Jesus' name. Jesus spoke about his agenda. And that was exactly what he was doing. And he said, finally, is to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Brethren, this is your time. This is your time for victory. This is your time to be elevated. It's your time for promotion indeed, in Jesus' name. Enough of people asking you, what has your God done for you? Because it's the acceptable year of the Lord, men and women will say, take me to your God, for indeed your God is good, and his mercies endure forever. That will be your testimony in Jesus' name. While Jesus went about doing this good thing that he knew he has been called to do, there were those who felt threatened by the new movement. The present-day church, headed by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, suddenly realized that the method of his preaching, the way of his miracle, everything that he was doing was not conforming to the tradition of the present day or that time, the church of those days. They recognized that as far as they were concerned, he was threatening their authority over the people. Because of the way he presented liberty to the people, because of the way he related with the people, they were so upset with him that how can he sit down with sinners? How can he allow a woman who's testified, who's known to be a commercial sex worker, what you call a prostitute, could be with him? How would he allow a person that has demons within him to touch him? If he was a holy man, he should know he should not allow those people to contaminate him. But Jesus said, you do not understand. I've been sent to the poor. I've been sent to the brokenhearted. I've been sent to the blind. I've been sent to the bruised. I've been sent to those who have been rejected already by man to let them know that God loves them with an everlasting love. But the church then did not understand him. As far as they were concerned, he was breaking their tradition. And because he was breaking the tradition of what they've always known all their life, because they were not ready for the new movement, they began to plot a way to destroy him. a way to kill him, a way to put a stop to the new movement that he had started. And of course, because they were haters, because they hated him and hated what they were doing, they decided that the best way to knock him out was to remove him completely and kill him. And that's the best the haters can do, kill. But indeed, in being able to do this, the story tells us that they were able to penetrate the inner circle of Jesus. They found one of them that was willing to be a whistleblower. They found Judas and said, hey, betray your master, we'll give you this amount. And of course, in a strange way, he who knew Jesus betrayed Jesus to the hater, to them that were against him. And how do you know he did it? Because when even the people came to arrest Jesus, they didn't know where he was, but Judas took them exactly to where Jesus was going to be. He pointed to him, he kissed him on the cheek, just for the people to know that that's the guy that he wanted. But even in all of the plotting, in all of what they were doing, they had a plan and their plan was being fulfilled. Suddenly, the leaders of that day church, because they wanted to stop him, handed him over to the enemy of Israel. They handed him on to Pontius Pilate to go ahead and judge him and destroy him. Even when they came before Pontius Pilate, you know what Pontius Pilate said? He said, I don't see this man. This man has not done anything wrong. Why do you want him destroyed? And then a little light bulb lit up in the head of Pontius Pilate. He said, there's a guy called Barnabas who's a murderer, who's a terrorist to the people. I will stand him against Jesus and ask the people, do you want me to release Barnabas, who is known to be a terrorist to you, or Jesus, who is just simply bad belly, to be released to you? And of course, the leader of those days, the leaders of the church, were so heavy in influencing the people that they all agreed with the leaders and said, release Barnabas unto us. And Pontius Pilate said, are you talking about this terrorist releasing to you that killed you, that robbed you, releasing that? Yes. He said, and you want me to kill Jesus? Let the blood be on our hands. And they began to curse themselves. The leaders were so influential that they inconvenienced and confused the people that he that opened their eyes, he that loved them, he that attended their wedding, their funeral, and turned it to a time of joy, he that was concerned about them, he that never rejected them, he that turned their life around suddenly became an enemy in their eyes. And the people were simply afraid of the leaders of the church. Because of those who were focused on tradition, they decided to gang up and say, release Barnabas unto us, but crucify Jesus. But while they were doing all of this, while the haters were interested in destroying him, Jesus was in the plan of God. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, chapter 51, from verse 3, it said, he is despised and rejected of men. Isaiah, chapter 53, from verse 3, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. The Bible said, surely he had borne our grief. He has carried away our sorrow, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In other words, while he was facing those challenges, a righteous man that truly loved the people, while he was going through all of this, the people in their righteous minds said it was God that was dealing with him. In their righteous mind, they believed that he must have a hidden sin somewhere. That's why he's going through what he was going. In their righteous mind, they did not understand the whole idea of intercession and asking for God's mercy. But rather, they felt that he deserved it. That's why God was letting him go through those challenges. The Bible said in verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. Hallelujah. For anyone who's experiencing any form of illness, disease, no matter what it may be, I say unto you on this day of resurrection, because of his stripes, you will experience healing in your life in Jesus' name. Even if the healing does not come immediately, he will give you strength to go through, indeed, in the name of Jesus. And we are all like sheep who have gone astray. We have turned everyone his own way, and the Lord had laid the iniquity on him. He had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He did not open his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shearers, dumb, open not his mouth. Jesus went ahead and allowed what had to happen to him. Perhaps the most beautiful thing Jesus could do on that cross was when they put two men on his side who were guilty. One of them said, "You are the Son of God. You are here with us. We are equal." The other one said, "Well, I know I've done something wrong, but this one has done nothing wrong. Is there any chance I could be with you in paradise?" Jesus looked at the man and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The lesson I learned from that was that even while Jesus was facing his own challenge, guess what he was doing? He was offering hope to the hopeless. While he was being challenged unto the point of death, he continued his ministry of bringing hope to the hopeless. His focus was not that I'm so obsessed, I'm so tired to the point that I cannot be helpful to any other person. But he understood that as long as he has breath within him, he still brings the gospel to the poor. He still brings healing to the brokenhearted. He brings sight to those who are blind. He makes the acceptable year of the Lord known to those who need to be known. In another place, while they began to stab him, while they were mocking him, while they were saying, "Are you not the Son of God? Come down if indeed you are the Son of God." Jesus looked up to the heaven and says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." That's probably the statement of deliverance that brought salvation to you and I today. Because the people did not understand what they were doing, he did not call brimstone and fire upon them. Rather, he said, "Father, forgive them." And that is the true salvation that many of us have that we don't understand. Jesus is not in the ministry of condemnation. Rather, he's in the ministry of healing. Jesus is not there to highlight your sins to you, but rather to show you a better way of doing things. For Jesus to say, "Father, forgive them," tells me that he was more interested in the emancipation and deliverance of man than for man to end up in hell. Today, we celebrate our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For on the day of resurrection, he had made a promise that he will rise. And because the haters, because the Pharisees, because of those who were fearful, had an idea that this could really happen. Remember what they did? They put a big stone on his tomb. They set up soldiers at the tomb that in case if anything happens, they will be there. And indeed, on the day that he was to rise, the Bible said an angel came from heaven and rolled away the stone and sat on it. Even the guards were guarding the place were so afraid of what had happened. Brethren, Jesus is no longer in the tomb. Jesus has risen from the tomb. And Jesus is alive forevermore. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. No matter what the challenges may be, we can stand firm. If he, Jesus, went through all of those things, through the hatred, and the cruelty of man against him, the power of the love of God raised him to life. I've come to say to you here today, has your tomb been sealed and saying you will become nothing because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Help will come from heaven on your behalf in the name of Jesus. You will rise again to be everything God has called you to be indeed in the name of Jesus. Jesus is alive, my brothers. Jesus is alive, my sisters. The reason why we live, the reason why we move, the reason why we have our very existence today is because of the power of resurrection. If not for the love of God, where will we be today? As we celebrate what happened over 2,000 years ago again today, I've come to say to you, the hope that we have is a hope of eternal salvation. The salvation we're talking about is not getting your reward in heaven. We're talking about you experiencing the power of resurrection right now in your life. We're talking about not just saying that I know God can do it, but rather you begin to say God has done it. It's no longer say, I know that one day, God will answer my prayer. But rather say, God has answered my prayer. He's saying that understanding the power of resurrection, he's saying that I know that whatever I bind on earth, heaven has bound already. Whatever I lose on earth, heaven has loosed already. And you've seen it coming to pass. Brethren, let's celebrate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because he lives, you and I can face whatever comes against us tomorrow. Let all the fear, let all the doubt disappear from within you, knowing fully well that greater is he that's within you than he that's out there in the world. The worst thing the haters can do, the worst thing your enemy can do, the very worst they can do is to kill you. But as long as God is still God, his love will keep you standing. His love will sustain you indeed in the name of Jesus. Let us look up to Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Having faced such a great stress of the haters of men around him, he still turned on to the Father to look up to him, and God was able to strengthen him. Receive strength today. Receive the power of the resurrection over your life today and begin to move in a new light of whatever it is, knowing fully well that it shall be well with you in the name of Jesus.